Well, it is. We're gonna. I'm just gonna enjoy to introduce our panelists. Here we have sitting across from me, Colin Hamlin, who's he's an enthusiastic supporter of the Human Rights Museum, in spite of some of the controversies that have risen. Sitting on my other side here is Don Marks, who is a editor of Grassroots News and also very active in the community. And joining us by phone, returning, is Kim Lee Wong, who the author of an Sagging First Nations member and the author of an article which first appeared in Intercontinental Cry, which decries the essentially alludes to the fact that this building was the erection of this building itself was an act of cultural violence and thereby taints the whatever human rights pretensions there may be going along with it. So thank you all. Kim Lee, are you there?
Yes.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hi. I just sort of stumbled through that introduction. Would you like to maybe just emphasize the points that you think need to be emphasized about the museum?
Well, I guess from my article, if people haven't read my article, I guess I just, for me, when I see it, I'm just saddened. I'm saddened and very disappointed, and then somewhat angered at, I guess, and it goes back to just the way that this came about, the whole museum. And it's not a, whatever goes on in the exhibitions and all that, I don't know, and I really have not much to say. For me, it was a poison seed that was planted, that the intentions and the way that it came about, that it's funneled a lot of public money into this venture, which is mainly a wealthy family's venture. If they wanted to build a museum in their own right, there's all the more power to them. But to funnel much needed public resources into their pet project, while so many others are health, education, that children can't get basic counseling services, affordable housing is an issue, nutritious food is an issue, basic, very basic rights, and yet we're putting public money into the symbolism. That the intentions of the families that initiated the museum were given options to provide respect for the grounds that they were on, to do a true dig, and refused. They just refused. So for me, that's a poison seed that's planted. So I'm not surprised at all the controversies that have come afterwards. It's like poison fruit from a poison seed.
I know that I've heard, Don Marks, I know I've heard a lot of the criticism, fairly widespread, and not just from, you know, sort of progressive lefty types, but like from across the spectrum, about the expense of this project.
Well, it is what it is. I mean, I'm not going to debate the $350 million anymore because it's been spent. Kim Lee makes some good points in her article in terms of the process that was followed. But again, you know, that's a crime. It was committed. It's a poison seed. We do still have to debate the $22 million that they're going to spend every year as versus would it be better
the
spent
operating
elsewhere?
Costs.
Yeah, the operating costs, annual operating costs. You know, when Thunderbird House down the road can't even keep its doors open. But I think what we want to do is try to look at, okay, we've got this thing. Is there any purpose that we can get out of it? I know it was very difficult to influence the operators of the museum to, you know, for example, call the Native Holocaust a genocide. Can we influence them to actually get some purpose? I mean, these guys got the power, so they're operating this museum. So right now, you know, I went to the opening and I kind of looked around, and I just finally said, well, you know, Don, you got all of these patrons here who have donated all this money, and I looked over at one guy, and I imagined him being a billionaire who's made all of his money by stealing minerals off some First Nations land, and he builds himself a mansion with 17 bathrooms, and, you know, I start thinking about Kookaburra up north, you know, having to go through a 5-foot snowdrift and use an outhouse for a bathroom, and then this guy might give $1 million to the museum, and he's assuaged his guilt. Okay, that's a bad thing. But I'm trying to think, well, would $350 million solve the infrastructure, solve the health, solve the housing problem, the education problem? No, it's not going to do that. What's $22 million going to do? It's not going to do that. Is there a way to use this museum to perhaps convince the Canadian public, who we've got to get on side, because the Canadian public, the, you know, the great unwashed, I think if they know, I mean, most of the Canadian public don't even know about treaties and sovereignty. They still think First Nations people are an ethnic group. If we can get them on side to maybe support the Kelowna Accord, there's $5 billion, or support treaty rights and the agreement to share of the treaties, not this duty to consult, $200 billion in mining revenues last year, and the First Nations had their share. I mean, there's $500 billion in trusts that are controlled by the Canadian government to go into consolidated revenues, and the interest that's accumulating is at 2%. We can do better than that. So there's a lot of things that can be done. So can we take this thing that we're stuck with, okay, and maybe try to make it useful for education so that the Canadian public can get educated. They don't have the information, they want it, and be able to accomplish some things. So I'm kind of agreeing with Buffy St. Marie. I'm more into fixing things. Move on and see what we can do there.
Okay. Colin, you've been quiet. I know you have a lot to say on the subject, but do you want to maybe, respond to some of the concerns that have been... I mean, there seems to be a lot of lemons that have gone into this, but maybe it's possible, as I think Don is suggesting, that we can turn them into lemonade. Is that your sentiment as well, or do you, where do you stand on this issue?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show, Mike. And it's true, I do have lots to say about the museum, and I would begin by echoing comments by Don and Kimley. I think that these concerns are valid, and I share some of these concerns. I think the real challenge with the Human Rights Museum is to develop some perspective on this thing. This is a huge deal. This is hundreds of millions of dollars, a very important idea of human rights. So I think there's a proper role for criticism when it comes to the public discussion, but I really want to frame that criticism. You don't go to a birthday party and tell them the first thing that comes out of your mouth is the cake is stale. Or you don't go to a graduation and say, well, your grades could have been better. You know, this, and in the same way, we're going to the opening of a human rights museum. This is a big deal. So I didn't really even introduce myself here. I'm a human being. This is a human rights museum. Let me tell you about my heritage. I come from Africa. I come from the savannah. My ancestors, my heritage, were brutal killers. They ran around in packs killing each other. Human rights was non-existent. It was rape. It was torture. Life expectancy was 30 years old. Everyone got murdered. Steven Pinker has put together a huge body of evidence saying that murder rates for our ancestors, and this is human beings, okay? Human beings are 100 million years old, and for most of that time, humans have lived in that state. 1 in 5 for murder, life expectancy of 30 or 40. Now, that's my heritage. That's who I look back at where I came from. Now, it's true we had a brief Iron Age, and we had some rights. For example, when we sacked a village, we would have the right to rape the women there, right? Achilles sacked a village, and Agamemnon in the Iliad denied Achilles his woman, Briseis. And he was so upset. He was, my rights are being violated. My rights for this woman, this booty of my pillage. That's where we're coming from, okay? And now here we are today, just a few thousand years later, looking at a museum celebrating women's rights, minority rights, gay rights, animal rights, the right to vote, the right to democracy. I think and the people who brought this museum here are not just the builders. It's the tens of thousands and millions of people who came before us fighting for these rights. I celebrate this museum because I celebrate MLK. I celebrate all of the people who came before us fighting for these rights. It's not just a monument or a touchstone. It's all the women who had to suffer under discrimination and abuse for hundreds of years, thousands of years. No, hundreds of millions of years. And I honor them. So that's what comes to my heart. That's what comes to my mind, is this unbelievable sense of honor and humility that here's a museum in tribute to this most important thing, the thing that separates us from the apes.
Okay, very eloquent, but you've got a federal government operating this museum who won't totally oppose a national inquiry into 1,200 murdered and missing women whose human rights were violated in Canada to the extreme. I'm sorry, Kim Lee, were you trying to get in?
That's okay. Go ahead.
No, well,
I absolutely agree with you. But here's the thing.
No, let's
just some closure on that. That said, I celebrate that, but I don't think the job is done. I think there's more work to do. This is a very serious concern of the disappeared women. We have animal rights as a new frontier. We have issues of democracy, and so I view this as. I've never talked about human rights so much in my life as opposed to the last week. Every second conversation is about human rights, okay. So it's doing its job.
Okay, let's let get Kim Lee in this. I think she must have some thoughts about this. I think that, like, as Don was just mentioning, I mean, there's some concerns about the extent to which the funders of this project are themselves upholding human rights. So, what do you think about?
Well, I think it's interesting. Just some points that he was making. One thing, I mean, it's interesting when you just recently brought up, you know, about missing and murdered women and then right after talked about animal rights. You know, daughters and mothers were finding our children's bodies in the river. Like, I think, and that's like today. That's not 100 years ago. That's not when residential schools and people say, how could that happen? That's today. And when you look at our children who are in need of just basic supports in this city, never mind all around the world. And when you talk about the history and how your people, where you come from, we have history, thousands of years, 6,000 of years at the Forks that is being covered up in concrete. There's history to open up there. If you really believe in that, and people have this great respect, but it's all Eurocentric history is what I hear. It's Eurocentric, and history being put forth, and it's Euro people dominating the discussions and getting to define what human rights are important, which ones are valued and all that. And that's great that discussions are happening, but you know what? Our missing and murdered women, our children who are in crisis today, need action. They need action. They need homes. They need counseling. And unfortunately, in this day and age, those things cost money. It would be great, yes.
Okay, I'm just going to...
I'm not just talking about throwing money at things, but it's who gets to define these things.
Okay, I'm just going to just take a bit of a brief break so that we can just sort of wind things up, because we want to take a look at the road ahead moving forward. We're just going to go to a brief break. It's now 8:45. Thank you for listening to CKW 95.9 FM. It's your listener support that keeps us on the air and keeps conversations like this going. We'll be back in just a moment.
Bonjour. Tune in to Eagle Staff Nation, the radio show that highlights both contemporary and traditional aspects of First Nations culture and community. Join us weekly for news, current affairs, teachings, and performances. Thursdays from 4 to 5 p.m. on CQW 95.9 FM.
You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM. A full program schedule and program archives can be found at ckuw.ca.
So we're resuming our discussion on the controversies around the human rights museum question, whether the merits of the museum outweigh the some of the ways it may have been tainted, the controversies and so on. Joined by Don Marks of Grassroots News, Colin Hamlin, former co-host, a small business owner in the St. Boniface area, and Kim Lee Wong, Saging First Nation member and also the author of a very widespread article that's very critical of the museum. Don Marks, you had a couple of quick remarks about what Kim Lee said.
Picking up on what Kim Lee has said, and you know, Kim Lee, I agree with you 100% on what has gone on in the past. But you know what? Again, I'm trying to get practical and look forward. You know, you look at the museum as desecrating some very sacred ground, but so does the Inn at the Forks. And before that, so did the CN Railway and covering the ground in diesel, which was, you know, just this European colonization, and it's bad. But, you know, where I try to pick up the conversation, as you mentioned, the First Nations, their Indian residential schools. Yeah, we've got to tell that story. And I look at, why are we telling that story? Again, we have a federal government that last year tried to push a First Nations Education Act, which was done top-down and did not consult with the real educators and First Nations communities that could have really, that really want to do something. They, number one, need the resources. Number two, they need the relevance and effectiveness of their curriculum. But what I'm saying is, yes, let's tell these stories of the Indian residential schools, keeping in mind we've got to convince the Canadian public to tell whatever federal government's in power. These are sovereign nations who have to control their own education, and you don't do it with things like the First Nations Education Act. So I'm always, you know, trying to move forward. See, can we make something out of this?
Kim Lee, quickly.
I just say that, but the whole museum, the whole way it's being run and designed is a top-down process. It's the same thing. We're funneling money. And so I see the structures as the same. The systemic issues are still there, and we're just funneling money to, you know, prettier pictures.
You're right. Let's change that.
Okay. Colin, I was struck by the fact that just recently I heard an announcement that four more Iraq war deserters, people who deserted the Iraq war because they believed it was wrong, they are being sent back to the United States. They're scheduled to be deported, and they will likely face, as has according to past precedents, they will be facing lengthy jail terms. The Harper government has apparently been putting certain... making some adjustments or suggestions to the supposedly arm's-length human rights board to indicate that they want it to be portrayed in a positive term. That was from an article that, citing Professor Karen Busby. What do you think about that? I mean, the hypocritical angle of it. The people behind this project are not themselves practicing what they're preaching and in a position to alter this portrait of human rights.
Well, I don't think I'm really in a position to second-guess the motivations of the people who put out of their pockets tens of millions of dollars on the face of it, honoring human rights. But I do agree that it's an interesting combination. I feel grateful for what we've done. We've achieved so much. And I think it's an awkward combination that I'm putting forward, that I'm grateful for what we've done, but that doesn't mean we don't have to try to do more. And echoing what Don said, I totally agree. Can we use this to do good? And I don't think this is an either-or project. You know, yes, it's an expensive monument, hundreds of millions of dollars, but I don't think things have to be either-or. It's not build a museum or help people on the streets or take care of practical issues. I think museums play an important role in facilitating discussion, bringing people together, holding symposia. You know, that's part of the main mandate of the building. When you walk in, the first thing you see, it's this museum is dedicated to bringing people together to have a constructive dialogue about human rights. That's the mandate of the museum. That's what they're doing. And we can criticize anything. Like, surely it's not perfect. It's definitely it's not going to fix the problems we have, but it's a move in the right direction. It's honoring what we've done. It's just a gratitude exercise as far as I'm concerned. It doesn't, just because I'm grateful for the things that are good in the world, doesn't mean I'm not concerned with and willing to work towards solving those things that aren't quite right in the world. And I think it's, as from what I've seen in the last week, people are talking about human rights. They are talking about the issues of the day, and I think we owe it to the museum.
Okay, I want to follow up on that point, because I was actually at the, as you know, I was at the museum site, and they had the grandmother's camp on the north side of the highway. They were smudging the area. They had pipe ceremonies. And apparently, from what I was told, they didn't allow media, including community media, to record anything. But I was told that they had a lot of visitors, like hundreds of visitors, people from Israel, people from the United States, came over. They were very respectful. They listened to what was being said, and were offering tobacco to the sacred fire. And also, I remember hearing from the museum staff a year ago on the question of the genocide question. They didn't feel they had the authority to declare the atrocities against First Nations as a genocide, but they welcomed the debate. They welcomed the protests.
That's such crap. I mean, that's just an excuse and you know it. I mean, I'm honoring what? Canada has a dismal track record in human rights. The residential schools, you know, we look at 1960s and you see the blacks being hosed down in the streets when they're marching for civil rights. First Nations were on Indian reserves, shunted away in Aboriginal residential schools that were being sexually abused. They needed a pass to leave the reserve, and they couldn't even vote. And that was 1961. So what are we honoring what we've accomplished here? We have a dismal track record. We have an opportunity to set it straight. And everything the Harper government does is against whatever the First Nations leadership does. So let's, you know, cut through all we can talk about human rights. That's not going to stop Rwandans from Hutus from slaughtering Tutsis. It's not going to stop the U.S. from putting 100,000 Iraqi civilians dead in the streets. It's going to have us talking about human rights for what? Maybe to convince the federal government to start listening and actually do human rights rather than just maintain the status quo. Sorry to get angry here, but it's nice to have the bleeding liberal discussion. But
okay, Kim Lee?
Like, I'm not against either. Like, you know, people, I think, are taking this like I'm just this negative. But again, to me, it goes back to, again, the intentions, the way it was done. And it's one thing to say, well, now it's done, we should just move forward. But, you know, if the thinking in place that walked over people's rights, walked over people's ancient heritages, is still in place and is still operating, all we're doing is putting pretty pictures on, and then you're trying to shut me up and shut up people who are critical and say, well, we can't do that now. We have to, you know, it's there. Let's go forward. It's there, but if the thinking in place is the same thinking that it caused the residential schools and is causing.
Is there not a possibility, though, of turning these lemons? I mean, notwithstanding the people who funded the project, I mean, people are coming out. They're bringing more awareness, at least to the wider public. Because, I mean, I come from an activist background where you're struggling to get these issues heard.
I would like to see a larger discussion on the way our civic decisions get made. Mm-hmm. Where are the money, where our public money goes to? Is this what the greater public wants? Really, to funnel in our public money into projects like this and not? And I got to say again, when it's your children who you're worrying about on the streets, it is an immediate thing. And I'm sorry, there's not time for talk. We need action for our children.
You know, I've got to confess, I was actually with Izzy Asper on a plane. I used to be the development coordinator for CanWest Global Broadcasting. And he told me, he said, I'm going to have a museum for human rights. And he thought I'd be in favor of it because I'd won the Manitoba Human Rights Achievement Honor in 1993. But it was for a documentary about the treatment of the bus people, about how First Nations people are treated in Winnipeg. And so there was a quandary. But he said to me, it's going to be a private museum funded by foundations, corporations. And I know the Gail said to me, no, it was always intended to be a government museum. Turning it over to the government, which has been the enemy of First Nations people in this country, probably the biggest stifler of the real human rights discussion, has been the big mistake. This is now a bureaucracy rather than being a real open forum, and that's where we got a problem. But again, we're always talking problems. I don't want to create the, and I really agree with Kim, you know, the process was all done wrong. We got to keep that in mind. But what I'm saying, when move forward, keep that in mind that it was done wrong. Let's do it right from this day forward. And that means we might have to stop and say, look, flip it around. Let's start doing things right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But there has to be some acknowledgement, at least, that it was done wrong.
Absolutely.
And I don't see that happening. And until that happens, then I feel like it's not genuine. And that's all. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it can't be turned into a positive. Yeah. I'm just very skeptical of them.
Okay. Colin?
Well, I'll just say, I mean, I agree with Kimberly's comments there that I share the same concerns. And same with Don. I share the concerns. But that's not enough for me to pass a judgment that it's not a good thing, because I also recognize all of the good that it's doing. Now, it's true. We have serious problems. I hear you. I was mugged on the street a few weeks ago. We got social problems. We have problems for women's rights, Aboriginal rights, you name it. But that doesn't mean we can't recognize what we have achieved. Like, certainly we're coming from a dark place. We're apes. We're great apes. And here, certainly we've accomplished something. I agree. Human rights is not done. We don't have everything sorted out. But certainly we're a little bit better than marauding chimpanzees killing each other in the jungle. Like, I want to celebrate what we have done. And listen, public works, that's the name of the game. I mean, we can't wait for perfection. It's true that we've got to be careful not to step on the toes of the donors of the museum. That's an imperfection. In a perfect world, we would have a perfect representative democracy that has everyone's issues covered like that.
Okay.
But hey, why don't we just build our own museum? Why don't you just raise your own $200 million and build a museum? Like, it's part of just getting it done, and here it is, and I think we should we owe it to ourselves to make the most of it.
We only have about 2 minutes left.
If you want to provide the fair share according to the treaties and the half of the $200 billion that's taken from mining every year, First Nations people will build their own museum. And this country is one of the wealthiest in the world, and it was done because all of the resources have been taken away from First Nations people, and they've been excluded from the development.
Yes, I agree. That would be great if we could get a First Nations museum, but it's not either or.
What I said.
Okay, so but we're doing the best we can. We're not in the perfect
world. We're not doing the best we can.
There's a disagreement. I don't feel we're doing the best we can as a society.
Well, sure. I mean, the world could be better, but
let Kimberly go. Yeah. Go ahead,
Kimberly. When it's your children who are going, we don't have time. That's what I mean. When it's your children who are going missing, you don't have time. It's, you know, and so when your family members are dying, you need to act.
Yeah. Okay. So,
We went to the moon, and I think it's armchair to say we should have went to Saturn. You know, we built the space shuttle. I think it's armchair to say we should have went to another. We're doing what we are doing. This is a good thing in a good direction. We should honor that. If you want to go to another galaxy, then by all means, let's work towards that. But we are achieving what we can. I have full faith in the people who've donated and built to it. They have. I mean, they're not building. They're building a museum for human rights, so on the face of it, surely we have to recognize that as a good.
Okay, I'm going to have to...
And not read too much into what their bourgeois alternative motivations might
be. Okay, I'll give... Don, 30 seconds?
Oh, quite simply, I think there's a lot of agreement around here, but yes, the process was flawed. Okay, we do have this thing. We have to keep in mind there's a better way of doing things. And we're not doing what we can right now. We can do a lot more, and we can do it right now, and we have to start doing it right now. Kim Lee has nailed it right on the head. It's her sister who may be missing and murdered. It's her children who are growing up in this country that are being denied their rights.
Kim Lee, last word.
We have to change.
Oh, nothing. Just thank you. Thanks, Mike.
Okay. Kim Lee Wong, Sagking First Nation, author of the article Human Rights Hypocrisy. Colin Hamlin, business owner and former co-host with me on my Sunday show, and also Don Marks, editor of Grassroots News. You've been listening to CKW's 95.9 FM's morning magazine, People of Interest. People of Interest airs every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. If you have a question, comment, or concern, or any kind of feedback about this show or any of the other shows that we broadcast, please email news at ckuw.ca, or leave a voicemail message 204-786-9782. Also remember our blog, ckuwnews.ca. I've been your host, Michael Welch. Thank you to my panelists. Thank you to Victoria for helping out with the tech today. And we'll be back next week with some of the mayoral candidates, hopefully all, for a wide-ranging discussion. Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman is up next. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks again. Bye.